This is the Kaiten manned torpedo. Its name means turning the heaven or turn of the heaven's will. The Kaiten was designed for Japanese special attack units, as its constructors hoped it could change the tide of the war in the Pacific theater. Six types of Kaiten would be produced. However, in this film, we'll focus on the operational Type 1. Built around a Type 93 Model 3 torpedo, the Kaiten Type 1 was essentially a stretched and modified torpedo, with room for a pilot and his control compartment. My name is David Webb, and this is Blue Pawprint. The total length of the Kaiten was 48 feet, with a maximum hull diameter of 3.3 feet, and a displacement tonnage of around 8.3 tons. The hull was built from two parts. The forward section was a cylinder that was 3.3 feet in diameter with a round bow. The rear section was essentially most of the propulsion unit from a Type 93 Model 3 torpedo. The rear section was inserted into the forward cylinder to complete the hull. A steel fairing was placed between the two sections, making a smooth transition from the wider front section to the narrow aft. This hull enabled a maximum depth of around 262 feet, but at depths of 164 feet and below, water leaks became visible, and in a short time, the Kaiten could be flooded and sink. In the center of the Kaiten was a small tower for holding the periscope and shielding the deck hatch from waves. Another entrance hatch was in the keel, slightly ahead of the pilot's seat. With this larger hatch, the pilot could enter the Kaiten from a larger submarine, while both submarines were still underwater. Behind an explosive-filled warhead in the bow, the Kaiten had a forward oxygen tank that was 27.4 cubic feet in volume. None of the oxygen went to the pilot. It was all for the engine. Over this tank was placed eight compressed air bottles that were mainly used to power the Kaiten steering. Below and to the sides of the oxygen tank were two forward trim tanks, 2.8 cubic feet in volume. The forward kerosene tank sat at the end of the oxygen tank and held just under 26 gallons. In the middle of the hull was the pilot's compartment, where the pilot, periscope, electrical gyroscope, and various gauges, controls, and valves were placed. BetterHelp is the sponsor of today's video. BetterHelp is an online therapy platform that quickly and easily connects you with licensed therapists who are trained to listen and give you helpful, unbiased advice. To find a therapist, simply head over to their site using the link betterhelp.com/bluepawprint. Then you'll answer a few questions, and BetterHelp will match you with a professional who has years of experience with helping people. You'll be assigned a licensed therapist who is trained to listen and give you helpful, unbiased advice. You can do it all from your phone or computer, by a phone call, video chat, or messaging, however you feel most comfortable. It's the easiest possible way to start talking to a therapist. Let BetterHelp connect you to a therapist who can support you, all from the comfort of your own home. Visit betterhelp.com/bluepawprint and enjoy a special discount on your first month. Inside the rear section, behind the pilot's compartment, was an aft oxygen and fuel tank, identical to the ones in the front section. It too featured a pair of trim tanks. Further towards the aft was a gas generator chamber, a two-stroke piston engine, screw shafts, and two counter-rotating screws. The propellers were a standard four-blade design from a Type 93 torpedo. There were four rigid fins at the aft in a cross-plane configuration. The two horizontal planes each had a hydroplane. When the hydroplane went up and the submarine was in a forward motion, the submersible would pitch up. Conversely, when they pointed down, the submarine would pitch down. The vertical fins each had two rudders attached to control the course. On each vertical fin, one of the rudders was for manual control, and another was used by the gyroscope-controlled autopilot. As the Type 93 torpedo had no provisions for manual rudder controls, steering rods for the manual rudders were arranged by passing through supporting brackets on the outside of the submarine. The warhead in the bow carried 3,420 pounds of explosive. This was made up of 60% TNT and 40% hexanitrodiphenylamine. It had an explosive charge three times the size of the Type 93 torpedo's original warhead. The detonator was placed in the middle of the warhead and was activated through inertia by impacting with a target. If the charge did not detonate, there were two electrical fuses in the back of the explosive charge that could be primed by the pilot manually upon release of a safety mechanism. The Kaiten had a two-cylinder, double-acting horizontal reciprocating engine, similar in design to most of the torpedo engines at the time. It had one big difference. Instead of using compressed air as the oxidizer, the Type 93 torpedo and Kaiten used pure oxygen. This greatly increased the power produced and extended the range of the vessel. Another advantage of using pure oxygen was that the engine produced less exhaust gases, so the torpedo left a less noticeable torpedo trail on the surface while moving underwater, making it more difficult to spot and locate. One downside was that the use of oxygen gave an increased risk of fire or even explosion. To prevent this from happening, Japanese engineers used a fire retardant, carbon tetrachloride, that diluted the oxygen on startup of the engine. This way, for a few tens of seconds, the engine would produce lower than nominal power, but all the residues and any substances that could explode in pure oxygen, such as grease and oil, would be safely burned away. Once the carbon tetrachloride was used up, nothing prevented the pure oxygen from entering the gas generator and burning kerosene at full power. The piston motion was transmitted through the crankshafts and reversing gear to the two shafts, one inside another, and then onto the counter-rotating propellers. The Kaiten could hit a maximum speed of around 30 knots, which is around 35 miles per hour. For a manned submarine at this time, that speed was an unheard-of achievement. The pilot's compartment was placed in the middle of the Kaiten between two oxygen tanks. A canvas seat was located under the deck hatch. There was no instrument panel per se. Instead, there were several levers, controls, and instruments to steer the Kaiten arrayed around his cabin. A battery-powered lamp provided illumination for viewing the instruments. To the left of the pilot was a panel with three main pressure gauges. To the right of the pilot was an autopilot based on a gyroscope, which with input from the pilot could hold the course of the submarine. This autopilot had a gauge showing the Kaiten's current bearing. To the right of the pilot was a crank that operated the manual rudders. But that method of steering was reserved for emergencies and to help the autopilot make sharp turns quicker. Directly in front of the pilot was a single eyepiece periscope, and to his left was the crank to raise it. The periscope could extend 27 inches. Above and to the right was the valve for controlling the Kaiten's speed. And overhead on the left was a crank for setting the intended depth, which automatically controlled the diving planes. There was no way for the pilot to manually control the depth, leading to several accidents. Near the pilot's feet to the left was a valve for letting seawater into the trim tanks to rebalance the submersible as the oxygen was used up and maintain zero buoyancy. At the pilot's right hand was a valve to turn off the automatic steering. And behind him was another lever he could push with either hand to start the engine. There was also a control to explode the warhead manually. The pilot had a telephone used when the Kaiten was carried on a submarine to talk to the captain or navigator in order to receive initial bearings. there was access to a tin of sodium peroxide in order to scrub the air of the carbon dioxide. The pilot would occasionally open the tin and pour some sodium peroxide on the lid. This was the only way to freshen the air within the Kaiten. The Japanese Navy initially insisted that the Kaiten should have a method of escape for the pilot. However, this requirement was abandoned early on in the design when it was found to be too difficult to implement. Kaitens could be launched from submarines, cruisers, or from slipways, but during the war, only submarines used Kaitens in combat. Before deployment, Kaitens were installed on decks of large submarines and held by metal bands tightened from inside the submarine. Wooden spacers were put between the band and the Kaiten hull to absorb the shocks and prevent deformation of the hull. A short tube connected the hatch in the deck of the main hull of the mothership submarine and the keel hatch in the hull of the Kaiten. This configuration allowed for direct access between the submarines and eliminated the need to surface in enemy water in order to launch the Kaiten. Ideally, the Kaiten would travel for several miles and surface 0.6 miles from the target. After completing extensive safety checks, taking several minutes, the pilot would use a telephone to get instructions on the initial bearing, initial speed, depth, and estimated time to first periscope observation of the enemy target. Finally, the pilot would start the engine by pushing the handle behind his back, running it on low power for 5 minutes to ensure it was running fully on oxygen. After that, the holding bands were released from inside of the carrier submarine, and the Kaiten was free to go, snapping the telephone line in the process. After the launch, the Kaiten could not be recovered, and the pilot and submarine crew had no means to communicate with each other. Most of the time, the Kaiten ran in a straight line by using the autopilot to make micro adjustments on the narrow rudders on the vertical fins. After the initial run, when the pilot got to his destination, he needed to slow down to avoid producing an observable wake. Then he would raise the periscope and reacquire the target. He would have to then find a new firing solution by estimating the target's distance, bearing, and speed, and determine what bearing and speed the Kaiten would need for a collision course. With the new bearing and speed and entering the bearing into the pilot would hope to ram the enemy. If this didn't happen, the Kaiten could once again come near the surface, raise the periscope, reacquire the target, and repeat the process. If the Kaiten was successful, it would power into the hull of an enemy ship. The force of the impact would trigger an inertia sensor inside the explosive charge, and the Kaiten and its pilot would be obliterated alongside the enemy ship. On the 20th of November 1944, a Kaiten was piloted by Lieutenant Sekio Nishina, one of the two original designers and test pilots of the Kaiten. With him was the ashes of his colleague and friend, Lieutenant Hiroshi Kuroki, who lost his life in one of the first training missions of the Kaiten. Nishina managed to sink the tanker USS Mississinewa. This would be one of the only two major hits by a Kaiten in all of its 10 deployments. The Kaiten was not an effective weapon. Aside its many design flaws, particularly around maneuverability, the crew trained with only around 25 hours of practice. Alongside the growing number of American escort ships and the high skill of their crews, this made the Kaiten effectively obsolete. From the 10 models of Kaiten designed, only the first one, the Type 1, saw combat use, and out of 330 Kaiten Type 1s produced, only about 100 were deployed in 10 different missions. With that, only two enemy vessels were sunk, but several more were damaged. The program cost hundreds of lives in failed deployments, training fatalities, and losses incurred by the sinking of submarines equipped with the weapons. Instead of helping level the playing field for the Japanese and prevent the Allies' advance, the Kaiten torpedo program only hastened the Empire of Japan's defeat. As a product of desperation, the Kaiten did not turn the heavens' will in its maker's favor and stands as a waste of Japan's resources during the war, and more tragically, the lives of its young men. If you spotted any errors, please let us know in the comments. We're looking to continuously improve. Also, if you like our video, please check out our Patreon. Thank you.